wasn't in the newspaper, but it was an article online. And it was decrying the death of the obituary. Have you ever noticed that? It's kind of hard to find anybody's obituary anymore. No one really gets the newspaper anymore. Just as a sampling, like how many of you get a physical newspaper at your house? The Sunday one? Okay. And what you'll find when you open it, at least if it's the Shreveport newspaper, I hope there's no one here from the Shreveport Times. There's really not much in there, is there? And the news industry has changed. And as it has changed, it has become more difficult to have one central place in a community for obituaries. I mean, the newspaper, the Shreveport Times, still has them. But maybe the Shreveport Advocate has them. And that's not a paper copy. Maybe you go to the funeral home. I think that's how most of us are doing it. So if somebody's at Roseneath or Osborne, I'm going to go there and find somebody's obituary. But what I'm finding is that I keep missing a lot of obituaries. And you're thinking, why is he talking about this on Easter? I'll get there. And so I miss them because they're just not where I would see them every day. I was thinking also about how cool it would be and how strange it would be if there was kind of an obituary for people who had been dead but came back to life. Wouldn't that be cool? And then that could be in the newspapers, right? I mean, everybody would want to know, like, well, Uncle Joe, he died. But you know what? He was raised from the dead. And like everybody would want to hear that, wouldn't they? That would be great news, wouldn't it? That would sell newspapers. So if you can come up with that and you can find some people that raised from the dead, then that's great. Well, our gospel text this morning describes for us that very news. Someone who had been dead. We've been hearing about it all week as we've gone through Holy Week. In fact, throughout Lent, we have heard scriptures about the cross and how Jesus was headed to the cross. And it's a great reminder that we are also in this time where today we are looking back on all of that and we see an empty tomb. Like Peter and John and others who went to the empty tomb, Mary Magdalene, they found the good news of the empty tomb. Last night, we had the Easter Vigil at Holy Cross. All the Episcopal churches, or at least most of them, in the city, in the area, gathered at Holy Cross for the Easter Vigil. And a number of y'all were there. In fact, I have some pictures here in a little bit. But it was so special to move from the darkness of the night and the darkness of the church to the light that was shining. As we lit that candle outside off of we had a bonfire right out in the front of the church. And as the Paschal candle was lit and carried into the church, it was a great reminder of why it is that we can celebrate today. Because Jesus is risen. Thank you. Okay, good, good. So you're catching on. It's kind of like bingo. So what are we to do with all of this good news? Now that the Paschal candle is lit, now that the light of Christ is shining in the world, now that we know that Jesus did not stay dead, but he came up out of that tomb. What are we to do with that news? Well, I want to focus in on the 1 Corinthians reading that we had, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Because he summarizes the gospel. And he is writing to a church that he has started. He's writing to a church that he is very fond of. He's also coming down on them because they've really got a mess in their church. Have you ever heard of a church that had a mess? No, it never happens, only back then. So what Paul writes to them are several things that they are to do with this gospel that they have heard. And by the way, there are people who are coming to kill them because of their belief in the resurrection. Because they are following one who they claim has risen from the dead. And the emperor of Rome is not too happy about that. And so he's writing to console them, to encourage them, to give them a boost to go and do the things that they are to do. But he says, first of all, receive it. That's what we're to do with the good news of Easter. We are to receive it. And so throughout this text where Paul writes, he says, you heard it. You heard this gospel that we proclaim to you. And you didn't just hear it, but you received it. You took it and made it your own. It became something that you believed in. You committed your life to it to the point where many of you are being killed off because of your firm belief in the good news of Jesus Christ. This is baseball season, and I caught a little bit of the Texas Rangers. You know, last year they won the World Series. Yeah. And so they were playing the Cubs opening game, and Cubs lost, Al. And but what's new, right? Okay. It reminds me of the great catches in baseball. I didn't see one when I was watching it, but whenever a ball goes out into the outfield and it's headed to the wall, and the left fielder, right fielder, whoever, reaches up and grabs it and just jumps off the ground, barely gets it, and everybody's wondering, okay, did it go in the glove or did it go over the wall? And sometimes it's hard to see. And so usually whoever catches it will hold the glove open and you can see the ball, right, indicating that they got it. Now, if the ball is being juggled and all that and falls to the ground, then it doesn't count as a catch, right? Because they never got firm grasp of the ball. They never had it in their possession. They never received it. What we are to do this Easter Sunday is to make sure that we have received the good news. Not just hearing about it, but actually receiving it. Actually getting it into our firm grasp. Actually possessing it in our lives. Now, you can tell when somebody possesses the resurrection news, right? You can just tell. Because even though life is just dumping on them and it's a terrible time that they're going through, they can still have some form of peace and joy even in the midst of that. Right? That there is the good news of the resurrection. That the worst thing that happens to us does not have to be the last thing that happens to us, right? That resurrection comes to us and gives us brand new life, a brand new outlook on life, and the sense of hope that what we see around us, even the sting of death, is temporary. But that Jesus has provided us with life after death, not only to be accessed and possessed in heaven, but to be accessed and possessed right here in the murk and mire of this world. Amen. And we are to receive it into our lives. And we do that by hearing it, by believing in it, by committing our lives to it. Well, second, he told them to stand on it. Stand on the gospel. And he comments as he's writing to them, in this you now stand. You're standing on the gospel. And that word stand really indicates someone who is in a place where they are unmoved, where they're able to not worry about falling over, that they have a firm stance and fully established on the gospel. And that is how it was so for the church at Corinth. He said, you received it. And even though there are a lot of winds blowing your way and there are a lot of things coming into your lives, you're standing because you're standing on the gospel. I don't know if you've noticed in Italy, there's been a lot of news this past week. This is not the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? And it, you can look at it and tell it's really leaning over. But this one is in Bologna. Is that how you say it? Bologna. And you can't really tell from this picture, but it is leaning. And it's getting to the point where they're seriously worried it's going to fall and kill people or land on buildings or whatever. You can see there are a lot of smaller buildings all around there in the streets. And so they are working to reestablish the foundation that is there. And I don't know. I haven't really researched this. But my first thought is there's not a good foundation there, right? There never was a solid foundation. foundation to be able to support a building that is that tall. Because sometimes earthquakes come and sometimes wind blows hard. And that building is supposed to be able to withstand all of that pressure. And yet it is leaning. Well, the good news of Easter is that you have a foundation to stand upon. You have something that will firmly establish your life. And so we need not fear death. We need not fear the problems that are common to us all in this world, because we have a foundation. I know Jenny and I have reflected many times about that foundation in our lives. Foundation that our parents put there for us to be able to stand on in life. We were both raised in church. We both had committed our lives to ministry and had grown in our faith in that way. And when the death of our daughter happened, I felt like that tower, you know, moving around, being tossed and turned. But we had a foundation under us. And it is only because of that foundation that we were able to continue to carry on in life when we felt like we just wanted to end our life. Amen. That there really wasn't anything else to live for. And so what we can know is the good news of Easter is for us that foundation. But also, the last thing he says is to share it. And he talks about proclaiming. And he talks about being one untimely born. If you know anything at all about Paul, you know that he was once Saul. And he was one of those zealots, very righteous, and was going after the Christians, these people who were following Christ. And he began to persecute them and oversee their execution and all of that. But one day, when he was on the road to Damascus, he had this bright, shining light around him. And he heard the voice of Jesus. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And throughout that conversion experience of Saul, when he became Paul, he became one untimely born. He felt like he was not the greatest of all apostles. He was kind of the last in line. But then Paul took the message that Jesus had given him on that road, and he shared it with other people, like the people in Corinth and other places, and told them all about it. He proclaimed the righteous the good news of Jesus' gift of righteousness to us. Whenever I was setting up some different posts on Facebook about our Easter service and other things, Facebook always puts something on there. Like, you know, if you post, "Hey, I just brushed my teeth," which some people strangely do. Like, who cares? I mean, I guess it's good, like, if you're coming to church that you've brushed your teeth. But, I mean, anyway, maybe that's oversharing. But there's a little deal that says, "Hey, you want to boost this? You want to boost this?" In other words, "Do you want to give us some money and advertise this?" And of course, for church stuff, sometimes I'll do that. Like, the message out there on the World Wide Web isn't quite getting out to where it needs to go unless it gets boosted. And I think about the gospel message, that we ought to be boosting it, right? We tell ourselves about it. We hear it in church. And we are to go out into the world and boost it so that more and more people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And we do that in so many ways. We have missional teams where we go out and don't just tell people, "Hey, Jesus loves you," but we show it by feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, helping people who are really down and out with their finances, and people who are struggling. And we go and we do all of that. Think about John. He is on the board for Basic Necessities, helping women with feminine basic necessities, and to be able to help them in that way. And so we share the good news. Our patron saint, Saint Francis, talks about that prayer, "Make me an instrument. Make me an instrument of thy peace." And that is one of the greatest ways that we go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to close with this quote from our bishop, Bishop Jake Owensby, on the front of your bulletin. Our own small acts of compassion and decency might not seem like much in this big, dangerous, aching world. But together, the billions of hands and feet shaped by the resurrection are a mighty force. Resurrection happens through us. Jesus is risen.
Amen. Amen.